Hello, I'm Jeff. My wife and I host Message of Hope. Message of Hope wants to be your weekly inspirational, motivational, and non-judgmental friend to help you through your week as we share Bible truths and life experiences to let you know you're not alone. Let's join Sandra to see what message of hope she has today.
Hello, I'm Sandra, and today I wanted to talk a little bit about my perspective on Peter's vision. And I'm going to be reading from Acts 10 and part of 11. So let's get started. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now, send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that happened, and he sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry, and he wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened, and something like a large sheet being let down to the earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened 3 times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. Now I'm going to pause right there at verse 16, because, you know, growing up in church, I had always heard that this vision meant that it was now okay, even though God's word had told us earlier that certain foods were not good for us to eat and some were considered unclean, that this vision meant that now it was okay to eat pork or lobster or any other thing that you wanted to eat. And I believed that for many years because my eyes just weren't opened to what the word was saying at the time. And I just felt that I wanted to share, the main point being that we all need to take responsibility to know God's word. I had been guilty of years in church of getting my little feel good that I was living life like I should because I went to church that Sunday. And that every now and then I'd read a verse or two before I fell asleep at night, sometimes falling asleep before I even finished. But believing, the main point, believing whatever was taught to me and accepting that as complete truth. We have to realize that I believe myself that all of us are at different levels. And God's not going to give you more than you can absorb, but we have to be in His Word to be trying to absorb more and learning more about Him, to understand what it is he wants us to do in our daily life. And I'm just saying that, you know, you have to get in the Word and figure out what it is saying and do some study and sometimes deep study to really figure out what it's saying. We can't just accept whatever we're told by someone just because they happen to be a pastor or a leader or a friend, because that person can only give you what they know. And, you know, I'm not pointing their fingers at them. Some of them don't know. Maybe they're not in the Word as much as they should be. Anyway, I just wanted to share there that through my life, I had believed, and I really didn't understand it, but I kind of questioned my parents about it, and they just said, well, that means that it's okay to eat bacon and stuff now. So anyway, God's Word said he's never changing, but we'll move on. Verse 17, while Peter was wondering, so you see, Peter didn't yet know the meaning of this dream. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of this vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. So Peter went down and he said to the men, I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come? The men replied, we have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guest. And the next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. Stand up, he said. I am only a man myself. While talking with Peter, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me? Cornelius answered, 3 days ago I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 in the afternoon. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said. He said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So, if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even to the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. And I'll stop there at verse 18. Another thing I want to share is so many times sermons, pastors, teachers, people who are talking about the word, we can take out little snippets and use them in different sermons to mean different things, to make it say, you know, to go along with what it is we're trying to share. But if we get in the word and we just sometimes read a little above that verse or a little below that verse, till we find out the context of what it is trying to tell us, we learn what it really says. Because to me, in my understanding, when I found this just the other day, I came in telling my husband, oh my gosh, for years I've been told that this vision is what made people think it was okay to eat pork and all these other things that God had told us earlier not to eat. And I never could figure out where they got that interpretation from. And so I am trying to learn about this, just go on and read past that. And to me, Peter is telling us his interpretation of the vision. Initially, he pondered it and he wondered what these animals and things were meaning. But see, it was all different kinds. And it goes on, because the Jews weren't allowed at that time to be even in the presence of the Gentiles. This is what his vision is meant, that God came for us, the Gentiles too, that his word's for everybody, regardless of kind, regardless of where you live, regardless of the color of your skin. He came for us all. That was the meaning of the dream. All I had to do was to get in God's word and do a little reading for myself, and the answer was right there. So shame on me, because I had just believed what I had been told all that time. So today, before I close, I wanted to share with you one place in the word where it talks about the types of food that God tells us is clean and unclean. That's in Deuteronomy 14, and it reads, and verse 3 begins, "You shall not eat any abomination. These are the animals you may eat: the ox, the sheep, the goat, the deer, the gazelle, the roebuck, the wild goat, the ibex, the antelope, and the mountain sheep. Every animal that parts the hoof and has the hoof cloven in two and chews the cud, among the animals you may eat. Yet of those who chew the cud or have the hoof cloven, you shall not eat these: the camel, the hare, and the rock badger, because they chew the cud but do not part the hoof, and are unclean for you. And the pig, because it parts the hoof, but does not chew the cud, it is unclean for you. Their flesh you shall not eat, and their carcasses you shall not touch. Of all that are in the waters you may eat these: whatever has fins and scales you may eat, and whatever does not have fins and scales you shall not eat. It is unclean for you. You may eat all clean birds, but these are the ones you shall not eat: the eagle, the bearded vulture, the black vulture, the kite, the falcon of any kind, every raven of any kind, the ostrich, the nighthawk, the seagull, the hawk of any kind, the little owl and the short-eared owl and the barn owl and the tawny owl, the carrion vulture and the cormorant." I don't know what that is. the stork, the heron of any kind, the hoopoe, and the bat. And all winged insects are unclean for you. They shall not be eaten. All clean winged things you may eat. And then it goes on to talk about tithes. But there are other places in God's Word if you want to do a little research and find out a little bit more. I know it mentions in there all the things, you know, different nuts and things that are good for you. And, you know, really, we're trying to get on a better path of eating. And I'm going to be doing more research on that, and I may share that in a podcast as well. But I just wanted to share that today because that's 50 plus years I've been believing that it was okay to eat whatever you wanted to eat now because God had changed everything. And when I asked about it, they said it was because of this white sheet that came down and him seeing the animals. But very clearly, he goes on to explain to us the meaning of that vision was that God came for all people, not just the Jews, but the Gentile as well. So it had nothing to do with food or what you were or were not allowed to eat. And I think if an animal is unclean, when God created it, it was created for a different purpose other than human consumption, or else he would not have directed us on that in his word. Now, if you do a little studying about the pig, like I have since I've stopped eating it, they're downright gross, and it just, do your own study. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm just talking to you from my viewpoint of what I've learned and trying to share what I've learned. There again, we're all responsible to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, the word tells us. So I'm not trying to tell you what you need to think and what you need to do. I'm just sharing with you what I've learned so that you might stop and say, you know, I need to quit just believing everything I'm told and take responsibility to get in the Word and read it for myself. But I guess I'll wrap it up right there today. I just wanted to share that. I encourage all of you to, if you want to listen to some other podcasts, you can find us at messageofhope.com. And that's abbreviated, message is abbreviated MSGOFHOPE.com. And on the podcast tab, episode 53 will be today's, titled Peter's Vision, where you can re-listen to this podcast and find references for the scriptures that we read together today. And you can study those for yourself and make any adjustments that you feel like you need to for what God alone lays on your specific heart. And as always, we thank you for listening and for helping us out by liking and sharing our podcast with your friends. Now, as I log off, I want to bless you with a prayer that was given to the sons of Aaron. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance up on you and give you peace. Until next time, shalom and blessings.